Hey, what's going on, everybody? Welcome to episode 54 of the Warp World Podcast. I'm Jakku. I am saddened to say that this is the last episode with X-Water for quite a bit. 4 weeks. He's off in Europe doing what he does. I don't know what it is that he does, but he's going to be in Europe. And so this is his last episode for quite some time. But in this episode, we talk about Nintendo suing a ROM site, some Fortnite cheating, the Xbox Adaptive Controller, Hotline Miami. Wait, no, Fallout Miami. What? Talk about Twitch's Creator Camp, viewer questions, side questions, and a lot more on this episode of the Warp World Podcast.
Welcome, everybody, to the Warp World Podcast, episode Cinco Cuatro. That's 54, or season two.
Episode three?
I'm not even doing this.
I think we're episode three.
we're done. I'm done with the season two.
The best episode of the Star Wars series.
No. It's the best prequel. Yeah, I'll say that.
I agree with that.
Anyway.
It's the best one I've seen.
I'm Krim Pooh Bear. Joining me, of course, this week, Jakku.
Hey, that's me.
And X-Water.
That's
not me.
That's me. Confirmed.
How are you guys feeling this week?
I'm busy, man.
Yeah.
Busy.
X-Water's planning for his big trip across Europe.
Yeah, ooh. I'm going to be gone for the next four episodes. You guys got to fill up that slot.
And I'm
I know. I don't know who we're going to have guests. I feel like we should have lined that up, who we're going to have guest hosts, but we haven't yet. Yeah. So
hopefully Grant Keys will be free. That'd be the easiest.
I think we'll probably have Keys one time. I think that's a safe guest host. You can guess that one.
Absolutely.
But the other three, I don't know. Like, we're just going to...
We'll figure it out. We always do.
Make it willy-nilly. Like, who knows who it's going to be? It could be someone big, someone small, someone tall, someone short. Yeah. We don't know.
Is this a Dr. Seuss book now?
Yes, pretty much. That's exactly what it is.
I'm actually planning a large Canadian heist starting next week. On an unrelated note, X-Water, what's your home address?
Oh, it's 129-386-497-619-289-98 Street Avenue.
You Canadians with your addresses, so weird.
Yeah, Canada is weird addresses, I was going to say.
Really thorough, because it's all one road, so it kind of keeps going up for a while.
Right, Canadian road. We gotcha.
Yeah. Well, Street Avenue.
Yeah, right.
You guys gonna ask how my week's going?
Of course. I always want to know about your week.
Hey, how's your week going, man?
You know, it's going great, and that's because the Patreon Warp World.
The Patreon.
You know what? Patreon? Patreon?
The Patreon.
The Patreon.
The Patron.
Yeah,
you know how if you give Eevee
a water stone, it's Vaporeon? If you give Eevee anywhere between $1 to $15 a month, it becomes a Patreon.
Oh. this is not going planned at all.
It's going well.
It's great.
Man, if this is someone's first episode of the podcast, they're going to be like, this podcast fucking sucks, you know?
I don't know.
Again. I think we're off to a healthy start.
Yeah, I'd say that much. I bet you
there's a Patreon. Let's talk about it a little bit.
The point was, I was trying to do a really hot plug for the Patreon, which is doing really well. You can check it out. Warp World. It's just Warp World.
Yeah.
Not the Warp World.
Patreon.com/Warp World. You know what? And we're even making it simple for you.
That was good sync.
Patreon.warp.world will take you there too.
Hey.
Oh, magic. So we just really appreciate everyone who has subbed, and we'll get your prizes out to you as soon as we can. And everyone who will sub in the future, we're not going to hypnotize you with subliminal marketing throughout this episode. No, not at all.
Subscribe to Patreon. That's really not happening.
But if it were and you did want to subscribe, you know, you can check it out again at the website aforementioned. Let's get right into the news. Let's break it down. I think the biggest thing right going on in Twitch this week, they launched the Creator Camp.
Yeah.
The Creator Camp with like a bunch of just different little guides listed for people who are just getting into streaming.
Yeah. I thought this was awesome, personally.
This would have been really useful a few years ago.
This is essentially a list of things that I learned within my first year streaming, all put into one little area.
I don't know about one little area. It's pretty big.
Well, you know what I mean.
No.
It's a robust site, though. No, like they, so it's basically a website that, you know, walks you through kind of a lot of the trials and tribulations, like the things that you want to ask streamers but really can't because like nobody wants to talk about like that shit.
Hold on, they can ask us on our side questions. Yeah. You know, we're here for you, so you don't need.
Yeah,
that
we're here
site.
For you, but no, but like it's really good, but. It even has, like, a lot of technical stuff.
It does.
You know what I mean? Like, bitrate stuff and, I don't know. I thought it was great.
It's really
I thought
nice.
It was really cool.
I think it really shows that, you know, we are moving to an area or into a timeline of Twitch and live streaming where Twitch is now having to give out these guides and tell you how to do it from start to scratch. And it's just because it's becoming more commonplace that people want to do this sort of thing. And it makes sense for the company that's kind of leading that to have these guides. You know, 6 years ago, anyone that's like, oh, I'm going to start Twitch streaming, you got to go and you got to find all that information on your own because that's just how it was. It was the Wild West. And they're trying to capitalize on that now with these guides, I think. And it's just, you know, that's how it's going to be.
Yeah.
Yeah, they've definitely made a huge effort into like just making all the things that like become really obvious after about a year and a year and a half of streaming. All those things that like you kind of just sit there and think, oh yeah, I mean, of course you got to do that. But when you're first starting out and kind of overwhelmed by the whole concept, like when your biggest concern is how do I capture my gameplay? Mm-hmm. Like the other side of all of that about like, you know, telling you about the idea of branding your channel and like how that's actually important and teaching you about how Twitch works and the etiquette around it and rating and hosting and all that stuff. And for when you're brand new to the platform, this kind of articles are going to be super useful.
Yeah. And the platform has definitely grown just in terms of what you can do, you know, hosting and rating. Like before they were actual commands you could run, like it was like, hey, everyone, just go over to this channel afterwards. Here's the link and click on it. You know, like, they didn't have those commands built in. It wasn't very common. And so, like, the first time someone did that, that was, like, you know, I guess, like, groundbreaking idea. And now it's very common. But you want to make sure that you kind of know what to do when someone raids you or when you're supposed to go raid someone else.
Yeah.
And I thought that was cool because it didn't just, like, tackle, like, the technical aspects or even, like, here's how you get viewers or here's how you make money. It also went into, like, etiquette stuff, you know? Like, don't promote yourself in other streamers' channels and, you know, don't, like, propose to collaborate right away. You know, things like that. Which I thought were, like, super good, useful things. Because sometimes when, you know, you overdo it, you know, people try to over socialize or, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. They overdo it and it backfires, you know what I mean? In the long run. And so I thought that was really, really great as well.
Yeah. The emphasis on what's it called? Networking that it shows too is also really cool to see because Twitch is like a really strong community and that's the best way to grow on Twitch is by, you know, being a part of these various communities that you like being a part of and contributing and you know, being with them.
Mm-hmm. I think that's why the Mario Maker community is as big as it is and is as, like, you know, amazing as it is. Because we embrace that community. We help each other out. And I think that's just because pretty much everyone that was playing that game, we're all good people. We're all like, hey, you're cool, I'm cool, let's do stuff together. And it was just very natural. But, you know, if you look at a game like Fortnite, it's very hard to naturally form that with some people because, like, there's either going to be really big people on Fortnite and you can't really just naturally go to them and be like, hey, let's work together. But, yeah.
Fortnite's such a huge directory with so much noise. It's hard to, like, it's like trying to make a friend at a nightclub when the music's like so loud you can't hear yourself think.
Yeah.
It's possible.
Absolutely.
It's just a little harder than at a bar where there's like 20 people chilling and an acoustic guitar player in the background.
Unless you have 4 digits in Fortnite, it's like almost impossible to grow right now. Or you're going to win a tournament. Those are like your only two options in Fortnite to grow.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
That's hard.
Speaking of winning tournaments.
Yeah. Grand Pooh Bear. Talk about the Fortnite tournament.
Grand Pooh Bear did not.
I did not win. I did not win Summer Skirmish Week 2.
Hey, at least you didn't get last, dude.
Yeah, and I also didn't. I got second to last.
Oh, you did get second to last.
I got second to last, so I was pumped about that.
Who was below you?
I can't remember.
Perfect. That's how it should be. Shout out to that guy.
I was 4 points away from getting third to last. So it could have happened.
Yeah.
But, you know, I don't think I'm not the story here, even right. though my very stellar performance, considering I got asked last minute, my practice time was cut yeah. into because I had to record this podcast. You know what I mean? I had all I didn't really understand the format till the day of. Let's be honest. You know what I mean? I wasn't able to put in my peak performance, but that's okay. I didn't get invited back to week three. Maybe I'll get invited to week four. Who knows?
You got some coaching, so maybe now they'll see you're a serious threat now.
Yo, my coaching went really well. I already feel better. I won a really great solo game last night that I was super proud of. I almost posted it on Twitter. That's how proud I was. But then I was like, no, I'm a professional. I played in Summer Skirmish week two.
I can't just be proud of one win.
Yeah, I'm not the story. Well, it wasn't the win. It wasn't that I got one win. Whatever. I won a bunch of games. It's how I won.
Gotcha.
And the way I won.
Okay.
That's what I was.
The other guy disconnected and he got the win.
Exactly.
Gotcha. Yeah.
No, he did die in the storm, but it was like I blocked him off though.
Oh,
like
perfect.
I boxed him in, you know.
Yeah. So it was, okay. Was it like where's this guy at? So and so just died in the storm. Oh, okay.
No.
Good. Yeah. You're improving. It's great.
No, anyway, that's not the point. I'm not the story here.
Yeah.
The story is the winner, I Got Bodies, who took home, what was it? Like $160,000, it looked like?
Yeah. Yikes.
That's an insane amount of money.
Yeah. So during the tournament, in my chat, I mean, obviously in everybody else's chat, but people were talking about the guy who was in the lead and they started accusing him of cheating.
They always do that.
So much to the point where it was one of those rumors that quickly became quote unquote fact.
Mm.
So much to the point that even in the official, I can share this, the official Discord, other players were asking about it. Not anyone that was close to getting in the money, mind you. It wasn't like, you know, it's not like Ninja was like asking about it. I don't want to like start a controversy, you know what I mean? It was other scrub-a-dubs like me.
But
it was interesting.
Yeah.
I think a couple things we should note about the winner. He played on console, not on PC.
Mm-hmm.
The way the tournament was set up, having the weaker player base definitely probably helped.
Absolutely.
I don't think anyone's doubting that. There is a rumor he played with mouse and keyboard, although he says he played with a Cinch controller, which I believe has a mod which allows automatic binding, like automatic. So it's like it has buttons like it was a keyboard, and it'll automatically switch to wall or ramp or whatever you need, which you can't do on console. You have to press a button to go into build mode.
Yep.
So you always have to press at least two buttons every time you want to build. That's a huge advantage.
It really is, Fortnite's
all about speed. Yeah. So it's interesting, I think. There is some controversy. Epic came out and said there was nothing shady he did. He was going into games like every 20 minutes. Like he was weirdly like had like a time schedule on games. They did, like, there's no denying that. Like that's a fact. Like that happened. He didn't stream any of his games, but not because he couldn't. It's because his Twitch ban, not because he didn't want to. His Twitch is banned for some weird reason.
Yeah, the reason I read was that it was hate content, which was something that he was unsure about, but yeah, like, all right,
awesome, yeah, great. Guy just made $160,000. Awesome, that makes it even better. I don't know. Right before the tournament, I said I should play on Switch with mouse and keyboard because I actually have an adapter to play on Switch with mouse and keyboard. I could do that if I wanted, and I said no, that's cheap as fuck.
You know what? I pulled out my Xbox 360 Zim 3. That allows you to play mouse and keyboard on Xbox 360. And I have an adapter for the Switch that lets you plug in 360 controllers. So I'm like, I wonder if this works. So on Saturday last week, I actually spent the time to try to configure that. It didn't work at all.
Oh.
I mean, it worked, but holy shit, I was worse. It was horrible. And like the whole, like, you know, like you said, switching to build mode and then switching to what you wanted. It just was so unnatural on the keyboard. Aiming was hard because it's not expecting a certain amount of speed. It was pretty difficult. I don't think, maybe if I spent more than like 20 minutes trying it, maybe I could have got it down. But like in the time that you had to do, even if you did do it, I don't know if it would have worked out for you. Like, I feel like you would have done even worse.
Probably right there. I probably would have needed a day to prepare, which I didn't even have. Mm-hmm. You know, I had like 16 hours between finding out I was in. But I think it's an interesting debate, like in this type of format. And I think with the money on the line, it really does, it matters. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
This kid won $160,000.
It's a lot of money.
So here's the thing. In security world, there's actually a lot of tests that we have to take online to get certs and stuff. Recently, a cert is requiring people to have their webcam on and active the whole time during the test. And they have a way to remote into your computer to watch your computer while you take the test. And the person will proctor the exam. They will actually ask you to move the laptop around in the room to see that nobody else is in the room and that you don't have anything, you know, helping you other than the provided materials that are supposed to help. Mm-hmm. It almost seems like, you know, like this is for a cert that, you know, costs you like $600 to a few thousand dollars to do. And like it can help you get a job down the line. It can do all sorts of stuff for you. But I don't see why we couldn't do the same thing for these, like have a webcam on your input and on you while you're playing these games.
I think there's two solutions to this for Epic to really get rid of this. And one of those is requiring streaming no matter what.
Mm-hmm. That makes sense. The whole idea of not having to stream it seems really weird, especially because like it's a tournament they're hosting. Why would you not want
it streamed?
Yeah,
and they want to rebroadcast it too, yeah. Right? Yeah, and they did rebroadcast it. So that is strange. Two, I'm sorry. Like if you're putting $500,000 of prize money on the line, put $450,000 of prize money on the line and fly everyone out. And just do it. You know what I mean? Even if you want to do this format where they're in public games, that's fine. But like put them all there together. So, you know, let them bring their own equipment, whatever they want to do. If he wants to play on a PS4, fine. But let him do it there. You know, I don't know. Like I think those are the two options. And I'm not suggesting that Fortnite should, you know, has to do either one. But I think streaming is pretty, I think that's a pretty low bar.
Yeah.
To require.
I mean,
yeah, you know? Especially because if you're that good enough at Fortnite to be invited to this, you probably have the capability to stream either way.
Could have streamed on Mixer.
Yeah. I mean, he could have streamed somewhere other than on Twitch on that. I mean, look at the Mario Maker Mondays at the TwitchCon. Like we required everyone to stream that.
Yeah.
Like, and that's just Mario Maker. And that was easy to kind of, you know, check times and stuff anyways, but
that was super easy to see just who won or who had the fastest time, who was the next clear. That was really easy to see.
Yeah.
But it was a requirement to stream for it. And I think that, I don't know. I'm very surprised that they didn't have that requirement. And I think not having that requirement adds an extra layer of, even if everything's on the up and up and he was just playing random 20-minute games because he was like, I don't know, watching a TV show, like maybe he played a game and watched an episode of The Office in between. I don't fucking know.
Right.
Like he could have, like that actually makes a lot of sense now that I think about it. Like calm down after an intense game.
Yeah.
But like it would definitely add an extra layer of transparency to these proceedings. And I do hope to see that. And with that being said, I also think it's like, it's very new and there's kinks to work out. But when you have that much money on the line, man, it's a big deal to a lot of people. So I think I understand the like semi backlash,
yeah,
you know, to a surprise, nobody play, you know, not nobody player, you know, but a surprise player who, you know, I don't know. It just, I get the backlash.
Backpedaling for 2 seconds back to the, I wanted to touch on the control scheme he's using. So he's using some custom controller. Did Fortnite/Epic have any specific like rules about that? Cause I know that these like weird Xbox and PlayStation custom controllers are very, very common. Like I remember
awesome.
Yeah, I remember seeing these like what I think Scuff is the brand.
Well, Scuff controllers has them, that Evil controllers. Use. Yeah, Evil controllers. Yeah. Evil
and
controllers
I never really,
has an
It was things
controller.
Like doing like it would auto tap the right trigger button so you could like get more accurate spray but at optimal speed in Call of Duty and stuff. Like I remember people buying those when I was in high school and I never cared because I didn't play that, but is this something that Epic had a rule against or?
No. So Epic's official statement on anything like that is that they don't want to restrict control schemes. You know what I mean? Like, they don't, because and I understand that because, like, they have mobile gamers and PS4 gamers and PC mm-hmm. gamers, and they all play together on the same thing. Mm-hmm. So they don't want to restrict control schemes per platform. And that was what they came out. And I understand that. And I don't think Epic's, I truly believe that. Like, I honestly believe that Epic's, you know, believes in that. You know, I don't think that's a bullshit statement just to get out of this, you know, controversy.
Yeah. And I think it's important that them not restricting controllers means anyone can use whatever controller is best for the game.
Yeah.
And so, like, it's not like they're like, oh, you can't use anything other than this. And then someone finds a way to, you know, masquerade a different controller as that controller so they don't know. Like, this is just mm-hmm. open for anyone. And again, you can play PC, you can play mobile, you can play console. It didn't matter. They just wanted you to play.
Yeah. But I don't know. I think like the ultimately, I mean, is it fair? Like, I don't think it's fair that he is essentially playing with a PC against PS4 players, which are obviously the skill level is just lower. It is. Mm-hmm. Like, there's no doubt that the PC skill level player to player is higher. You know what I mean? Everybody can build on PC.
Well, at least maybe the skill level, I wouldn't say necessarily the skill level is different because the control options being different allows for more intense maneuvering. Like, not necessarily that the PS4 players are worse, but they're at a handicap.
Yeah, but I mean, like, I'm saying if you were playing on your PC, like, he's essentially, you know, I don't know. I get why there's controversy. Yeah. I guess that's what I'm going to get at. Because he's essentially playing with PC controls with a Cinch controller or, you know, whatever. Which, I mean, they do on Destiny. They do in every other game. It's not like this is the only game. So I get it. Like, I understand that it happens. But it is just, like, it's weird, I guess. I don't know. Maybe they should just have weekly, like, here's a Switch tournament. Here's a PS4 tournament. This week's PC.
I you know? No, like, absolutely. Maybe that would be better. I think that'd be a good way. If you're going to have this weekly tournament
thing. This week's mobile.
Do this. Yeah. Do this version each week or so. Honestly.
Dude, wouldn't you love to watch a $500,000 mobile-only tournament?
Dude, I kick ass on mobile. Like, I get wins on mobile than on the PC. So, like, I would have played mobile.
I wouldn't care to watch mobile. I wouldn't. I wouldn't tune in for that.
Dude, that would be so much fun. I would totally watch that. I'd be more interested in that than the normal.
I still want my Fortnite idea of 100 versus 1 to come out, and it's 100 mobile players versus 1 PC player. That's the match.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like that would totally... I mean, I still feel like the PC player would win.
I know. Honestly, I know. That's why I want to see it. I want to see it so bad.
I don't know, man. I feel like if you got four people that are... Like, if they're on a team, they can't friendly fire each other. Just four people shooting from every direction, you can't win that. It doesn't matter who you are.
Yeah, it might be like... Maybe it's just four squad. You can have squads.
Yeah, but like, you know how long it takes to see... Have you played on mobile ever? X-Men?
No. Oh,
dude, it's so hard to see anybody. Yeah. It's like just seeing people is like impossible because there's no draw distance at all.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, it's impossible to see anyone. It's great.
PC has a huge advantage. It'd be fun.
Yeah. It'd be super fun. Anyway, let's move on. Hopefully, Epic, invite me back. I would love to come on, you know, week 9 when I'm not
when you complete your training.
I would finish at least like in the 80s.
You're complete your training and it will be a lot better.
Speaking of controllers though.
Absolutely.
Interesting controllers that can do anything. And this is interesting because I can totally see this taking over Fortnite on the Xbox. But the Xbox Adaptive Controller, they actually revealed the box this week. And normally I wouldn't be like, oh, let's talk about the box. This is big news on the podcast. But this box is really, really cool.
You can open it with your teeth. Dragon Feeny, eat your heart out or eat the box. I don't know. Dragon Feeny, you can open a box with your teeth.
Yeah. And that's so cool. It just kind of goes to show like how dedicated they are to this adaptive controller and making it work for everyone.
They mentioned in the article I read, they went over a lot of designs. They sent it out to a lot of people, beta testers and stuff. And most of these people that are, you know, need this controller. They have helpers and stuff that can open their boxes and stuff for them, but they wanted to give those players the experience to open the box because they know how it feels. Like when you get a new item, it's for some reason, opening the box is one of the best moments of it. It's like, oh, this is really cool. And so they wanted to make sure that those players got that experience too. And like, they're really committed to this. it's really exciting. It's coming out in September, I believe, still. So we're on track for that. Remember the rule, though. Don't buy one if there's only one left on the shelf.
I'm totally buying one of these, though.
Yeah. 100%. I'm going to pre-order.
Yeah. I want one. Like, I want one for no other reason, just to make it a big seller, a bigger seller. Like, I think it looks so cool. X1, are you going to get one?
I probably won't. Not because I don't want to support her or anything, but, I mean, dollar bill, y'all. You know, I don't have $100 to just drop on a controller I'm probably not going to use.
What? Listen.
You don't
listen.
Know that, man. You X1. Might definitely use
it. If I find a solid use for it, I am all
I'll give you,
for buying
I'll give
you know
use
what I mean?
For it right now, foot pedal. With
I have a foot pedal.
With 18 foot pedals.
But then I got to buy 18 foot pedals in addition to this.
No, man.
You know what I'm saying?
You can build your own.
If I can find a creative, like, actual useful use for this, or even a fun way to, like, maybe play through other games, like this could definitely allow for really creative stream applications, you know? Yeah. Like, you know how you see people beat Mario with a DDR pad or something like that?
Or like a power glove?
We could
power
potentially set up something along the lines of beat any game that supports an Xbox One control scheme, which, let's be real, if you're savvy enough on your computer, is essentially any game through emulator or on Steam. You could be like, I'm going to beat this game by playing the drums. Like, the drums are now, and not like Rock Band drums, like an actual,
like,
set
actual
of drums.
Drum set. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean,
weird, wacky stuff like that. If I can find a good creative use that can justify me buying it, I will.
I talked about it last week, building that controller out of light bulbs to beat Mario 3. I had a
that
lot.
One, that one's still the best idea I've ever heard.
I had a lot of people come to my chat being like, you got to build that. So I got to build that, Pooh. Will you beat Mario 3 if I built a controller out of light bulbs?
Dude, I am pretty convinced at this point that there's not going to ever be a controller worse than the Power Glove that I will ever use. So 100%.
Absolutely. All right. You heard it here first.
I am 1,000% positive that your light technology in 2018 will be much more sophisticated than the Power Glove's sound wave technology.
Absolutely.
That fucks up every time my phone rings.
Man. But yeah, no, the controller's great. And I think you're right, XWire. Like, we're going to see some really cool uses of it on Twitch and just everywhere. Like, hey, I hooked this up to this thing, and now I can do some cool gaming in emulators.
Yeah. It does have me kind of, like, brainstorming a little bit now. Like, what kind of things could we do? Like, just the inputs that are on there for using the separate, what's it called, like, controls and buttons and everything. Like, I'm trying to think of creative ways to do that. Because if you could map, like, your movement to a DDR pad and map your A and B to, like, slapping your calves. Imagine how funny that would be, just playing literally anything.
Oh my goodness. You're going to be sore.
I love that thing. It's a cool looking controller too.
Yeah.
It does look cool. It kind of looks like a DJ pad.
Yeah.
There it is. DJ pad. Absolutely. It does.
Yeah. I could totally see it being used for so many things that aren't gaming in the future.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
I mean, people already use...
You're going to see, like, 3 articles in the first week about, like, mind-blowing control schemes for someone beating Dark Souls in the stupidest way possible.
Well, I think you're going to see that. You're going to see articles of, like, you won't believe what this video game controller can do. And it will, like, that's, like, a good clickbait title, but it will, like, do something really cool in the real world for you.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh, that's really good interface for that.
Once someone beats Dark Souls with a jar of mayonnaise, that's when I'll buy it.
Oh my god, that's gonna be it. You can just hook up all the condiments and I beat Dark Souls using nothing but condiments.
Imagine if it was set up where every time you took a bite out of different foods, it pressed a button. So, like, if you want to press B,
dude,
you got to bite a carrot. If you want to press A,
super fat.
Yeah.
I said carrot.
Well, I mean, still though, how many carrots? Dude, carrots are high in sugar. How many are you planning on eating in a day?
I don't think carrots are high in sugar. I think they're high in fiber.
Sure. How long? I think they're also very sweet.
Either way, man, how
carrots?
Long do you plan to...
Carrots aren't sweet, dude. Listen,
if you eat enough carrots, you can get fat, all right? Look at rabbits.
I'm sure, yeah.
All right?
I think you're never going to be too bloated before you get, like, enough actual caloric intake from carrots to really cause any damage.
One medium raw carrot contains nearly 5 grams of sugar.
That's a lot of sugar.
That is more sugar than I anticipated.
You know who doesn't contain sugar? Nintendo lawyers.
Oh. They're not sweet at all, no.
No, they're not.
Nice segue.
Thank you.
That was a nice segue because we were
needed to be put in line.
Yeah,
there.
I was going to say we were going to go off and argue the validity of carrots. You know what I mean? I was going to argue why this was a bad idea.
I had no idea how we were going to get back to this topic. I just saw my opening.
Oh, man. Yeah, so I mean, let's get right to it. Nintendo is suing
Fortnite.
Yeah, no. They're suing Fortnite. They're suing Epic. No, they're suing PUBG. No, Nintendo is suing... What is this website?
They're suing Love ROMs.
And Love ROMs.
And Love Retro. So, like, yeah. Essentially, the North American and the UK versions of these ROM distribution sites.
Yep, they're suing them for billions and billions of dollars. How did they get to that number again, Jakku?
Let me pull it up here.
It boils down to like the base like cost that they're asking is $150,000 per infringing Nintendo game that's on the sites. So like Super Mario Bros. 1, mm-hmm. there you go, $150. Super Mario Bros. 2, $300, and every game adds up another $150. And
then for every castle.
Pardon?
$150 million secret castle.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And every individual trademark that is infringed upon. So like trademarks on Mario, trademarks on the NES, on the SNES. Because it's also like surrounding things like the firmware and the BIOS for like NES and SNES machines. So things like that in that nature are also subject to these to this lawsuit. Yeah. Things around that are getting $2 million per.
Yeah. Interesting enough, Color of Dinosaurs for some reason $300,000. It's the only game that's double.
Is that
no? It's not real. It's not real. X. Okay, come on. Pooh's just there face palming right now that I brought up Color of Dinosaur. this is crazy. So they have over 140 copyrighted titles on there that they are suing against with 40 trademark infringements. So it's around $100 million that they want to sue for. This guy doesn't have that much money. He's not.
Yeah, they're obviously not getting that money.
He's not making bank off these ROMs. But Nintendo's sending a message, you know. We see this every few years. A ROM site gets hacked, or not hacked. That's a different thing.
No, but Nintendo's done this before. Absolutely. They've come after, they do this, like you said, every few years.
Yeah, it's just, it's like, what are we paying these lawyers for? They're like, oh shit, Nintendo's onto us. What do we do? Go after the ROM site. I'm almost suspecting these lawyers are putting these sites up themselves. That's slander. Ooh,
giving themselves a reason to stay at Nintendo. Oh, right, man.
That's actually a really good idea.
because
there's a conspiracy theory.
Yeah.
No, that is a great conspiracy theory. It sucks. Like, but I get, like, I don't think Nintendo's wrong.
Yeah.
I don't think the ROM site's wrong.
There's a couple of points that people like bring up, and I think are like the ones that we should probably touch on. Well, if Nintendo's not going to provide us a way to play their retro content, then shouldn't something like this exist? That's one of like the arguments that I've seen and heard. And that's like a reasonable request, but they also have no actual obligation to provide you with their old content.
And that's also completely fair.
It sucks, but like, no, it's their stuff. They can do it if they want to. And at the end of the day, if they don't want to, you can't be like, well, I'm going to steal it and play it this way. You can do it.
Like, just because you can't play it another way doesn't mean it's justified to be stealing it.
I really wish I could look at the Mona Lisa in my house, but, you know, the art museum's not going to let me, so I'm not going to go steal it.
Yeah, I don't know if that's exactly...
It's not exactly the same. I understand.
Same comparison, because you could... Here's the thing, though. You could look at a picture of it right now, so that... You know,
I think I'm allowed to look at screenshots of games.
Fair compare. Well, I mean, but that's not how the video... Like, painting is a completely visual medium.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, a picture of the Mona Lisa is basically the emulator version of Mona Lisa.
I love that.
Straight up. I completely agree. Like, I love ROM sites, obviously. Like, I'm a huge fan. I bet if you look on all three of our EverDrives right now, you know, like, you're probably looking at a couple games we don't own.
Just a couple.
I'm just saying. So it's not like...
No comment, man.
Yeah. I'm not, you know, I don't want to claim I'm innocent. I also know for a fact, like, another ROM site's going to pop up.
Oh.
Like, it is.
It's not like there aren't already other alternatives.
Honestly, I'd never even heard of these two sites. I've
Same. Like, nope. There was other sites that I would always, you know, browse and read the forums on and the articles.
Oh, really?
I visit the sites for the articles. Pooh, I always visit the sites for the articles. It's like,
it's
the Playboy for the articles. but yeah, no, like there's tons of sites out there. There's torrents. There's so many ways to get these ROMs. It's interesting to me that like we're still like, oh, we need to have this website for that. Like, there's probably a cryptocurrency that's all just ROMs on the blockchain, and you can download ROMs from the blockchain. Like, shit, that's probably a good idea. Holy crap. I gotta point out one of their notices. I don't know if this was a tweet or something on their page, but Love Retro has a quote, and it's, Love Retro has effectively been shut down until further notice. Thanks for your patronage to date, and we hope to get this figured out. I don't think anyone here is going to argue, like, there's really nothing for them to get figured out. Did they?
Yeah. Like, that's like, they're not coming back.
Like, yeah, that's like them being like, you know, I think we made these games. I think we're allowed to put these out online.
You know, Nintendo really came at us, but we really think we have some kind of case here. We're gonna fight on this one, guys.
Yeah. Like, I think at the end of the day, we're probably going to see the lawsuit was dropped. As long as the site stops operating and stops providing ROMs, and like maybe he gets a small fine.
They're not getting $1 billion.
Oh yeah, they're not going to get anything like that at all.
I bet they settle for like $1.50 or something really stupid like that. You know, an agreement that the sites don't go back up.
He's got to say something good about the Nintendo Wii U. Oh man. So I mean, ROMs, they're neat. Everyone loves them. But you know what else is kind of neat? Fan-made game.
Wait, are we really done talking about this? Though?
I mean,
because I don't.
You can sound
I feel
quiet,
like there's.
But sure.
I don't know. I just feel like there's so much to, like. I think what I ultimately think about right now when I think about this is like, will they ever come after SMW Central, which is where we get all our ROM hacks?
They can't.
And will they ever come after Link to the Past Randomizer?
They like, why okay, can't so they? the reason that ROM hacks and fan made games and et cetera are technically fine is because you're not providing any copyrighted material on those websites. Mm-hmm. You're providing
are
a way.
Are you not?
No.
No. You're providing
a patch. Yeah,
when you're providing a patch, you're providing a sequence of instructions that modifies your legally obtained copy of Super Mario World or your legally obtained copy of Link to the Past. So because of the way that these sites operate and that these ROM hacks operate and everything like that, there's absolutely no way that they're actually infringing on any or breaking any laws or doing anything wrong.
Yeah, Nintendo can definitely sue Super Mario Central, World Central.
I still don't think it's like that.
Yeah, it's
simple.
It's not as simple like they can't. They can totally sue. You can sue anyone for any reason, especially in the United States. And you still have to defend it if the judge doesn't just throw it out. And so like they could potentially go after SMWC and be like, hey. We're suing you for $1 billion. And now they have to scramble, get enough lawyers to help fight that. And they could just, you know, win by bankrupting the site. And like a judge could throw it out, but like you can do so much in the legal world to just, you know, keep that lawsuit from actually ever seeing a judge for a while and just go back and forth. Like H3H3 has been sued before and like they just lost so much money in legal fees on that sort of thing, and that almost broke their channel essentially. And they're a big channel, so like you can imagine what could happen if Nintendo went after a fan site like that. So they're not necessarily bulletproof.
Yeah. I guess you're right. I mean, they can definitely you know pursue legal action, but they don't have nearly the same grounds as compared to going after these other sites because way that this all operates.
It'd be
different if SMW Central provided, you know, patched ROMs, like provided, like, here's Super Dram World. You don't have to do any of the patching, all that.
Right.
Like, I guess what I'm saying is the seriousness of the infringement
or the type of infringement
is different.
I get what you're saying, but it's like giving a man a gun and telling him to shoot someone. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know. Like, here's a patch.
I don't understand.
Here's a patch. Here's a clean ROM. You know, like, this is what a clean ROM's name is. I don't know.
Yeah.
I think it's a more grayer area than we all want to admit.
Well, yeah. I think at the end of the day, Nintendo knows that if they were to go after a site like this, there would be a much bigger backlash.
Much bigger backlash.
And, like, the entire... a big portion of the speedrunning community, I would almost probably say 100% of the speedrunning community would be completely against that and like be outraged on Twitter and all that sort of stuff and probably stop using Nintendo consoles during the course of that. It's kind of severe. And
I feel like people would be annoyed, but at the end of the day, I think they're still going to play the games they want to play.
I don't know. You might be right that some people, but I think a lot of hardcore speedrunners and things would definitely be like, you're going after patches of these games. And like,
would you boycott playing Nintendo games, both of you, if this were the case? Would you completely just stop supporting Nintendo products?
I don't want to ever commit to such a... I don't know, man. I've been on that Nintendo heroin for a long time. I don't know if I can just get off.
I've been on it too, but you know what? I think like for something this big, it's the only way to stand behind it is by doing that. And so like...
There's
tons of other video games I can play.
Yeah. So, but especially with the three of us in particular, we're heavily Nintendo broadcasters.
I'd
say right now,
I've been soured on Nintendo before to the point where I definitely quit playing Mario Maker to a certain degree because of specifically Nintendo, how they treated both me in that game and like me specifically, weirdly.
You deleted your own levels. Also, that wasn't
Nintendo. They deleted all my, you know, and I mean, that's a fucking weird thing. But like, and also how they treated the Mario Maker community. So, I mean, it's not like, I haven't felt like that before but I'm sitting here, I played Mario Maker this morning, so I guess I should shut the fuck up. I don't know. I have felt like that. Like, I've taken big breaks from it because of how the community's gone. I think lots of gamers have quit games because of the way game companies have handled things for whatever reason, better or worse. I'm not saying all game companies are, you know, guilty or wrong in those situations. But
I guess my underlying point, and I just don't think it would make a big enough difference to actually do anything. If like a group of 20 broadcasters, let's say, speedrunners stopped playing Nintendo games because of something in a hypothetical like strike against SMW Central. If every ROM hack player for SMW stopped doing that, I don't think Nintendo would care. I think they might even consider that a win. And I don't think it would actually change that, like, it wouldn't do any harm to anyone other than probably your own channel.
Yeah, I can definitely see that, and you might be right on that. I think maybe some sort of mass boycott for an extended amount of time could be something that people would try to do. And like, it's really interesting. Whenever I see people doing boycotts of certain things, like there was the Amazon strike day a while back, and it was like, don't buy anything on Amazon today. It's like, well, what about tomorrow? Oh yeah, tomorrow's fine. Like, that sort of stuff doesn't work because you just pay the next day. The only way to really hurt a company is to stop using them completely. And it would be hard to say, would I stop buying things for Nintendo? I think
Nintendo puts Mario Odyssey 2 out tomorrow,
right,
it doesn't matter what they did to me the day before that. I'm buying.
Well, that's not right, man. That's like, is that like the problem with, like, this is like a bigger problem that extends beyond gaming at that point. You know what I mean? Where the world just like take anything the rich company will give us. Like, right. I don't know. Like, that's, I don't know. Like, this is fucking weird.
I mean, what do they really have to give us though? They give us the games that they make, and I feel like We're not entitled to anything more than that.
Listen, you're right. I got two solutions to this. One, I'll just run over to loveretro.com and download the game. Wait, what?
Yeah.
Oh, no.
I'm not advertising stealing games. I'm not saying that. But like, even this, even them shutting down ROM sites, like, I don't think it bothers me. Like, this is I would say it's a small transgression. I'm not saying it's not within their laws, their rights, so I understand why they did it. But it bothers me, and it is a little chink at the Nintendo fanboy armor, and you can only chink it so much, I guess, forever and ever and ever. This is a small one; it'll grow back. I'll be fine. I'll forget about it. But I do think there is a line. I also think this ultimately is a really pointless move by Nintendo, other than for again, pointless grandstanding because other ROM sites still exist out there. They're going to exist. They're not going anywhere. You could shut one down. Another one's going to pop up the next day. Or they're just going to be on a blockchain. Or they're going to be in some random zip file labeled Johnny's Porn 2014. You know what I mean? And we'll all figure that out. And that's how it will be distributed. Like, you can't stop it at this point. And B, I don't think it helped. We're going to buy those fucking games anyway, man. If I want to buy a game on the virtual console, me owning 16 versions of the ROM is not going to stop me. I'm straight up, like, we're already suckers. Anybody who's downloading all these ROMs are going to buy some of these games on virtual console anyway.
Yeah.
So,
I've bought Mario 1 more times than I can count.
Right.
The other solution that I had is Super Mario Odyssey 2 comes out. You know, that's fun. Or just go to GameStop.
Stop trying to steal Mario Odyssey 2,
buy a second. No, I'm going to buy a used copy so that Nintendo doesn't get the money from
me. Yeah, that's actually not a bad idea.
That's a really clever way to do it. Yeah, you still get the goods and Nintendo doesn't get your money. I buy used stuff just because I'm cheap.
Jakku,
I feel like that's even a bigger knife in the... Yeah. Life in the gut
honestly, compare, like, now that's a good thing to bring up because the buying and selling of used games hurts the game industry. I would say not necessarily more, but a comparable amount to piracy.
Yeah. But
I would say it's way worse than piracy. I don't think piracy, honestly.
I just don't have the numbers is my...
Piracy
is that... I don't think it's like... I really truly feel like most gamers, if they could buy if they really want to play the game and they could buy it, I truly believe that like 90% of those people would. And the like 90 to 95%. I don't think we're missing out on that many sales. Like, I don't think pirates are like, I don't know. Like, I just don't see them impacting sales that much.
Yeah,
I agree. I don't think piracy impacts sales. Yeah. Like, very, very much to any like meaningful degree. And if anything, I feel like most people who do like are either one, a kid who wouldn't have been able to buy the game anyway, or two, an adult who wants to try the game before actually committing to a $70 purchase.
Yeah.
Which maybe not fair, but at the same time, it's like if that option wasn't for them, they would just completely ignore it. And so,
I think there's the guy that just downloads every fucking thing.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean?
And, you know, shout out to that guy,
though. They just own it all.
Because,
who cares?
Archiving things is very important. So much of history in general...
Completely agree.
...has been lost. And so there's websites out there, archive.org. I'm just going to throw them out there. Like, there's websites out there that are archiving the internet and all the digital content and everything. And, like, we need that stuff. Because in, 50 years, we might not be able to find any of this stuff if we're not archiving it. And so shout out to the hoarder that's downloading everything. We're going to...
Yeah.
But, I think the other two options are completely fair. There's the kids. Like, I was a teenager. I did not pay for things. I pirated things. And... Once I was a...
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, I mean, I bought...
I'm in the same boat as you, Jakku. Me and my buddies... I have a internet past.
Okay, yeah. Fallout 2, Fallout 1 and 2, you could install the whole game and didn't need a disc on it. And so me and like 20 friends went in on the game and that was our version of piracy. Yeah.
Like, I bought games that I could afford as I got older, but like...
Exactly.
At this point, I buy so many things. I look at my game. I have like a shelf of 3DS games when I was still buying 3DS games. I just stopped playing the 3DS like 2 years ago. But I got like 30 games in shrink wrap still.
You got like 30 3DSs itself.
Well, yeah, I have 33 DSs just in box, not even opened. But that's besides the point. Like, I have so much stuff that I bought that I haven't even played. Like, that's insane. You got money. I didn't even get content. Like, that's weird. So, I'm sure there's other people like me that are offsetting the differences of pirates. Potentially.
You're like the answer to that question I have. Whenever I see like those posts about like, oh, look at this sealed copy of Super Mario Bros. I found in my attic. I'm like, yo, how the hell did no one ever open that?
Yeah, that's me.
Why was that not used?
Like, for just owning the product to me sometimes is like, this is good enough. It's really
I don't
weird.
Need to play this. I have it.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I have this. I don't have time to play this, but I have it. I don't know, man. ROMs, they're going to always be here. They're never going to get rid of them. There's always going to be a site or somewhere to get them. And this is just Nintendo's lawyers being like, we got to do our job again. And it sucks, but it's the nature of things. And, I don't think any sort of boycotting's ever going to work in this case, because I think you guys are right. Like, people are going to play Nintendo games. Whether or not.
No, man. Dude, last generation, nobody was playing Nintendo games. Well, I don't think that. I think I don't. I think there is a line of, like, what do I want to say? Like, transgression against the fans where the fans backlash. Mm-hmm. I do think that. And I think Nintendo's line is probably much, much wider than Activision's, let's say.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah.
What about Bethesda's?
Like, you can only do so much before... Yeah. Bethesda's line?
Yeah.
All right. Well, that's going to bring us into this week's...
Hot take.
Sub to Patreon. So this week, a trailer released for this game called Fallout Miami. Do you want to tell us about Fallout Miami, X-Water?
I actually just stumbled upon this a little bit before we started recording, but essentially, Fallout Miami is an upcoming mod for Fallout 4, and it's like... When I say mod, I don't mean like, oh, it replaces, you know, the dragon in Skyrim with Macho Man Randy Savage. Like, it's a big mod.
Wait, does that mod exist?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. There's Macho Man Randy Savage mods all over the place.
I might finally play Skyrim.
What are those big, big mean creature dudes called in Fallout 4? The Deathstalk or something like that?
I don't know, man.
You know what I'm talking about?
I haven't played Fallout 4.
Right.
It's something like that. But whatever those guys are, there was a mod that replaced them with Macho Man, and it was the best. It would be like, whenever they're like approaching from a distance, you would just hear, "The Macho Man cometh."
Oh my God.
It was great.
I need that in my life.
But anyway, that's besides the point. This mod is a complete new campaign experience that takes place in Miami. It's the vacation wasteland, as it's being called to some degree. And it's like this completely vast world worked on by like huge amounts of people. And they had a trailer come out, I think either today or yesterday, on the 24th. So 2 days ago. And it looks awesome.
It does.
Oh my God. The voice acting is good in the trailer.
They have voice acting. They have completely like complete new visuals, complete new settings, complete new quests, side quests. Literally everything is, the only thing that's the same is the engine, really.
Yeah.
And I guess some of the assets and everything like that too.
Yeah. I saw the trailer when it came out 2 days ago, and I did not know it was a fan made game until I started reading the comments. I'm like, wait.
Yeah. Once I saw it, I definitely thought this was an actual like new hold me over until Vault 76 little installment.
I was like, oh, hey, Fallout 76. I thought that was your next game, but you're making this one?
Yeah.
Cool. All right. That's going to make people that were like, oh, I don't want an online game be like, cool, I got another Fallout game. But I mean, it's not from Bethesda. It's a modded game. But I mean, that's awesome. It looks great.
It looks so good.
So this hot take.
I guess the hot take is, are you going to play this game?
No, I don't own Fallout
4. Are you
going
to play Fallout? Have either of you played Fallout 4, right?
I played a little bit of Fallout 4. I didn't beat it. I got bored.
Yeah, I haven't played 4.
But to me, this looks a lot more interesting than Fallout 4.
Mm-hmm.
Honestly,
it does.
I kind of want to play this really badly.
I kind of agree.
I definitely want to look at more into like how much it actually changes in terms of the gameplay. Because to me, that's what was most wrong with Fallout 4 for myself. I just felt like it was so bland and like it got so much more dumbed down in terms of dialogue options than previous games where it was like before. Like Fallout 3 was even a little like, but you still had
What was your character's intelligence?
I don't know, probably like 5 or 6.
Well, you know, you get, if your intelligence is higher, you get more dialogue options.
Well, what I mean is like, you used to have, like, I feel like compared to before, you had like in Fallout 3 and New Vegas, and even before that, way more. But in this one, you just kind of had like 3 options for general tone that you wanted to give in the conversation instead of like being able to actually say what you want to say.
Okay.
Like, you'd get a 3-word preview of your statement, and then you would be able to like, in Fallout 4, and then like you select that, and your character drops this like 2-sentence statement, and you're like, well, that's not what I was going for.
That makes sense. That was a big problem with what was the court? Ellie Noir. Ellie Noir is like, sometimes I'd like, you would give a tone or something, or like you'd give a response, and then I was like, wait, that's not the response that I was giving at all. That's not it. It was like I know you were at home, and then it'd be like,
slams the table and backhands the dude, and it's like, I know you're lying to me.
Yeah, it was like, and it was like, and you'd say like a completely different sentence, and I'd be like, whoa, man, that is not, I was not trying to go that hard into it. So.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, that's interesting. I have no idea what they're going to be. I have no idea what the gameplay is going to be look like, but fuck, this looks like a really great mod. And I think, obviously, you know, a ROM hacker fan like us, I just love seeing shit like this. You know what I mean? I love seeing passionate fans make things, because a lot of times the passionate fans understand the product even more than the people selling it do.
Yeah.
And I think this might be one of those, this could end up being the best Fallout game, the best 3D Fallout game, honestly. Just and I know that's like me blowing a lot of hype smoke up there, but damn, that trailer was fucking sexy.
Yeah, no, it looks absolutely fantastic. And like, Fallout fans are gonna enjoy this. People that are kind of on the fence about 76 are probably gonna be like, this is a holdover. It's a mm-hmm. it's a great thing. I'm excited. And like, this isn't even there's another Fallout game coming out that's fan made called New California.
Yeah, that's a board game,
no,
isn't it?
So that's official from Bethesda, is an expansion, New California. Or a board game expansion. I don't know if it's just the board game or an expansion board game, but there's a mod like this called New California as well that's been being worked on.
Oh,
so
gotcha.
So we have two games coming out that are modded for Fallout that people should be excited for.
Yeah, that's it is really cool. The one thing that like you can really say about Bethesda is like maybe their products definitely ship with a lot of bugs, and you know, maybe sometimes they come off as like kind of but man, they definitely let people do whatever the hell they want with their games.
Yeah. I love that too. Man, do I love that. Cool.
Yeah.
Let's go to this week's side.
Quest.
Chance.
All right. Let's go. This is good. All right. I don't know how.
This is good.
I don't know how, but Manic T once again.
Wow.
I don't even look at the names at this point, but hi. Hello. What are your thoughts on pre-orders of games? It seems like a bad precedence that you would drop $60 or more before even seeing a game, especially in an age of day one patches, broken launches, and unmet expectations. At the same time, publishers are still pushing for and bragging about pre-order numbers, not to mention the pre-order incentives like Amazon Prime, discounts, retail-specific DLC, and zany deluxe editions. As we enter the age of digital distribution, pre-order should be a thing of the past, but it seems to be free money for the gaming industry. The internet screams, vote with your wallet, but the majority seems to still be buying games sight unseen, and that seems unhealthy. What are your thoughts? This is a really good question.
That's funny. That's kind of exactly what I think about when we were talking about the Nintendo thing. Because like the majority still doesn't listen to, you know, this vocal internet minority. But pre-orders, I mean, I don't really see too much value in it unless there's a sweet pre-order bonus. Like Wind Waker on the GameCube, getting the Ocarina of Time Master Quest, that was worth the pre-order itself,
mm-hmm,
you know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Other than that, game demand, I mean, really, I haven't seen a game that sold out to a point where I wasn't able to get a copy in a really long time. And that's the only real benefit that a pre-order serves to me.
I'm a big fan of digital downloads for games. So like, at the end of the day, like, if I can't get it physically, I can just download it. Octopath Traveler in like Japan is actually having a huge trouble with physical release. They're a lot less likely to do digital, but they couldn't stock the shelves fast enough for that game. So that's that was like pre-orders could have helped solve that a little bit more too, I think. Because it gives you a little bit of an idea of demand.
Well, it's also a like it could have potentially, but it might just
that's
be a case
a
of
one
like
off. It's such a one-off case.
Absolutely
it could have just been a but like I mean I kind of agree that like I think pre-orders are completely there's really no point in doing it at this. Like I don't see any point in doing it unless you're going to buy this game no matter what. Mm-hmm. And you know you're going to buy this game. You're in love with this game. You know you're going to buy it. I know for a fact if Nintendo announces a new Mario, take my money. It doesn't matter. You announce a new Zelda, take my money. It doesn't matter. I'm going to buy it. Why not just pre-order? Why not just buy it now? I don't know. I just think, like, why not?
Yeah.
Like, that's in that situation. For games that are unknown, I would say, you know, like No Man's Sky, which to all due respect, 3 years later, people are fucking loving it. Like right now, No Man's Sky is hot as shit.
I heard 2018. So the thing I read about No Man's Sky, and I'm excited to try it out. I haven't played it yet, but they're like the year game of the year 2018 is a game that came out in 2016.
I believe I've heard so many good things about
I'm playing No Man's Sky I'm playing it right after this.
Nice.
Yeah, so I think I don't know. I think there is sometimes where it's appropriate, but I think 99% of the time, don't pre-order, at least not until you can, like, you know, preload digital download and see those first reviews. You know what I mean?
The only reason I still pre-order to this day is because, I mean, I get like 15% off if I pre-order on Amazon Prime.
Saving
money, you know?
But those are for games you know you're going to buy no matter what.
And
you're
like also Mario pretty, Tennis and Odyssey and Breath of the Wild is all things I did that with.
Yeah, and you're also in a pretty unique position too where you game for a living, you know what I mean? So you're going to buy, you know, more games. Like it's not as big a deal for you to buy a game that you maybe not like because it's a work thing. So I think we're in a different unique situation for that. At the same time, it's your fucking money. Spend it however the hell you want.
Yeah. I mentioned earlier in the podcast, I'm going to pre-order that Xbox controller. I think that's one of those times where pre-ordering is a good idea. It shows the company that there is a demand for this thing and that they should make more or at least make sure they get enough out there. And you're showing like, I want more of this. When a company comes out with a new franchise, I think that's really kind of the best time to do pre-orders is franchise a new game that's really exciting looking that you're going to get because you like the idea of it, pre-order that probably. If you hear about reviews, cancel the pre-order, you know, if you don't like the reviews before. Because that's the thing, you can always cancel your pre-order. Many people don't, though.
You can.
So that's my thought process on pre-orders. Like, pre-order if it's new and you want to show the company it's actually like really exciting. Otherwise, you can probably get it. No big deal anymore. So this next question comes from Internal Tomato. Hi, Jack of Waterpoo. Why do games have iframes? Is it a game-specific technique or technical requirement, or is there some other reason for them to exist? Thanks for the great show.
Because it's so not fun when you don't have them. I think it boils down to that.
It's not a technical requirement at all. But if you look at Sonic 1 on the Genesis, I think it's been patched in like re-releases.
I hope so.
If Sonic gets on top of spikes, and then like if you have rings, you bounce. But as soon as you touch the spike on the bounce, you die because he didn't have iframes there. Like that's no fun. You should have a few seconds to get off those spikes.
Yeah, it's essentially you have this game mechanic that's in there to the second chance mechanic. You know, you lose your rings, you get to keep playing. It's like, oh no, I got hit. Better be careful now. But if you get hit by spikes, you bounce and you get hit again immediately, and your life is gone. And then it's like, well, I'm gonna stop playing this now.
I wonder if they came out of a technical requirement, like for instance, the hit detection. Once Mario got hit by a Goomba, it was like, well, he's still technically in the Goomba. The Goomba didn't die. So we have to let him phase through for a little bit of time.
Well, yeah.
That makes sense.
Yeah, right. I mean, that is probably the reason why it happened, because it would be just super not fun to just, you know, you basically would be trapped. Yeah. You know, you get hit by an enemy and you would be essentially just trapped. There's nowhere to go. There's nothing to do. You have no other options.
Interesting, though. So there is a glitch in Mario Brothers 1. If you get the first mushroom in 1-1 and you jump into one of the in between the two pipes where there are Goombas, if you just stand there, let the Goomba hit you, and then you take small Mario and you walk the same speed as the Goomba and you keep Mario inside, Mario will never die by that Goomba as long as you can stay inside the Goomba. And
that's cool. I did not know that.
Yeah, so he stops flashing. So like Nintendo definitely thought ahead on that. Like I guess the iframes were just like, yeah, this is so you know, but like otherwise they were smart and not allowing the same Goomba to kill you until you exited them.
Maybe that was even put in before the idea of iframes.
Potentially,
too.
Yeah. It's interesting. I think all games that we know of that have iframes, like they're definitely beneficial. It's a second chance. It's a game So you should have fun. You shouldn't be like, oh, I got hit by this guy. And then he hit me again and I died instantly because there was no iframes. There was nothing I could do. That wouldn't be fun. So it probably came from a technical requirement.
Yeah, if you have iframes, it's because the game is giving you second chance mechanics. And if you're going to give you second chance mechanics, you might as well, you know, give you that second chance.
Yeah, and it makes for such great like speed runs where you can abuse iframes.
Yeah. That being said, this is all like just our speculation and not like the actual like guaranteed reasoning.
Wait, hold on. This is our podcast. Everything's guaranteed here. But yeah, well, I mean, none of us are game developers. We all play games, but no clue. No clues if on your answer, but this is why we think they exist. Mm-hmm. If we're wrong, let us know.
We're not wrong.
Yeah.
Moving on.
That's it for viewer questions. Or
that's it. Yeah,
you mean side questions?
Yeah, Jones. Yeah. We just got two this week, two good ones.
Just two.
I mean, we got a few.
Man, I thought with our billions and billions of listeners, we'd get more side questions.
Well, we get a lot, but some of them, you know, are a little bit I've actually been asked it before. A few people do read coming into chat, like, hey, I noticed my question didn't get read. Either we've already answered it, and maybe we've already answered it a few times, so definitely check the back episodes, or it's just not a question that we're really able to answer.
Now I'm curious to what those questions are that we're not able to answer.
Let me see. This one here.
Well, no, I don't. I mean, I don't want to read it out loud if we can't answer it. I don't know. Now I don't want to look dumb.
All right, fair enough.
I say go for it.
I'm nervous about this.
If Nintendo announced they were going to release a line of sex toys, what would you most want to see in the lineup?
That's a great question.
That one was not. I just found that one. That wasn't a great question. All right. What?
That's a great question. Are you kidding me?
I just found that one. So that comes from Turn Up.
Oh my God. X-Water, go first.
Whoa. I give me a second here. You go first.
Oh man. This is amazing.
Condoms that are green and look like pipes. I know that's not a sex toy, but you know what? Fuck it.
That's good. That's good.
The mushroom comes out of the
Mario
pipe.
A dildo with like a one-up mushroom at the
right.
end.
Oh my God.
Yeah. No, you know how they have like the fleshlights and the dongs, like the fake ones that are like at real porn stars, you know?
Yeah.
Like it's like their mold. You could do one with Mario Tennis with the Luigi dong.
Oh my God.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
That'd be too big to ship to people's homes.
Yo.
Oh, my God.
If anyone at Bad Dragon's listening, you know, like, you guys should be making these, just saying. Damn, that's a great question. I'm sorry.
No, that's
I feel like the Wii controller was already, like, 60% of the way there.
Yeah, that'd be pretty good.
Can't argue that logic.
A few little tweaks to make that a bit more usable.
I cannot argue that logic. All right, that was a great question.
All right, so we got three.
I get why you didn't want to read it, but I'd say I'm glad we did.
There's definitely that was a poor example, honestly. But that was a great question at the end of the day, and I think we didn't even go too deep into that question. I think we could talk for that for like quite some time, but
too bad we're out of time.
Unfortunately, the Patreon is just, you know, there's a limit due to the Patreon, and we hit the limit, guys. No, I'm just,
that's not true.
It's not true at all. You're but I do want to shout out the Patreon once more, guys. We have been just the support has been insane. It's been great. It's been running for 4 days, and we did not expect for it to be at what it is right now, and we're just so thankful for you guys. We have a lot of awesome things planned, and you guys are going to make all that possible and more. Like, I'm excited for this year. I'm excited for TwitchCon. I'm excited for a lot of stuff, and this Patreon has been great. You guys have been great, so, you know, continue being great, and we will do the same.
Heck yeah.
Cool. As always, you can email us podcast@warp.world. Get your questions in. Sorry, the dildo questions are taken now. Like, I don't think we'll be answering that for a while, but we really appreciate the love on that. We'll see you guys next week. Cool. Episode 54, Cinco Cuatro in the books.
Season 2, episode 3. Let's go.
We're done with that.
We're done. Bye, everybody.
Have a good week, everybody.
Bye, X-Water. See you off on your journey to Europe.
Oh, yeah, that's right. See you in a month, everyone.